For more than 350 years, Britain's Royal Society has been home to the world's greatest scientific minds. Isaac Newton, Charles Darwin, Albert Einstein are among its past members. The Society has just unveiled its 50 newest fellows, and they include six Australian-based researchers. It is an incredible achievement to be made a fellow, but it's all the more amazing when you do it at the age of just 36, ripe old age of 36. That's what University of Sydney Professor of Mathematics Geordie Williamson has managed to do. He's now thought to be the youngest living member of the Royal Society, aside from Prince William, who is an honorary member. Geordie Williamson, welcome to breakfast.
Thank you very much.
And congratulations. What an honor.
Yes, it was a great honor.
How do you get told that you're a member of the Royal Society?
I mean, you get a hint that something might be in the works. People tell you that you're being nominated, but it can take many, many years. And I just got an email a few days before it was announced.
An email? I would have thought it'd be sort of royal decree, some person turning up with a scroll and a trumpeter beside them.
No, just an email. Simple. Yeah.
So the Royal Society played a huge role in the development of modern science. Obviously, it published key works by Isaac Newton and Benjamin Franklin. What does it mean to become a fellow today? How does it change the work that you do?
I mean, first of all, it's a tremendous recognition of research achievement. So it's useful in then applying for research funding and convincing people that what you're doing is worthwhile. And the Royal Society also provides a big role in outreach and in promotion of science more generally.
So tell us a bit about you. You work in pure maths. What exactly do you do? What have you been honoured for?
So I work in a mathematical field called representation theory, which is the study of high-dimensional symmetry. So we deal with very, very complicated systems that probably won't be solvable by traditional means, and you exploit the symmetry of the systems too.
It's been interesting reading about you and your thoughts on mathematics, because you're quite romantic about the way you describe it. You call it the sort of poetry of the sciences.
Yeah, I really believe it as kind of extending the expressive power of so mathematics is the language of science. And what we're trying to do is push the boundaries of that language, just as we push the boundaries in poetry and literature.
So tell me, though, where you see the beauty in mathematics, though.
It's very, very difficult to explain. And it's also, I find a little bit sad that I can't kind of share this beautiful, beautiful thing to someone that I pass on the street. Yeah, it's just an incredibly beautiful world to exist in and many, many beautiful ideas.
But when you're thinking about a mathematic formula or the symmetry within some kind of equation, where is the beauty in that for you? I mean, if I see those numbers on a page and the algorithms or whatever, it scares me. Why do you see it so differently, and how do you see it so differently?
I guess it's, we learn to visualize, for example, higher dimensional objects. And the fact that we live, for example, in three dimensions seems to be a bit of an accident. And there's many beautiful objects in three dimensions, like an icosahedron or a cube or something. But then if you go into higher dimensions, there's many, many more of these very beautiful objects. And you can't see them precisely, but you can get a feel that they're there. And it's very captivating, this idea that these objects are there.
Can you just take us into your world a little bit then, though? Are you working on computers? Are you working on pages? Do you see something that your brain is able to turn into an image?
I guess the vast majority of the time we spend stuck and not understanding things. But then occasionally, I guess, yeah, you just see a glimpse of what some object might be like, or you have some intuition as to what its structure might be like. I mean, there's this famous analogy of a whole lot of blind people examining an elephant, and they all come up with different opinions about the elephant. And we feel like we're exploring these incredibly interesting high-dimensional structures, and we all have our different opinions on this elephant.
So you're sort of blindly feeling the skin of the elephant
completely
with other people, and at some point you might have a sense of what the beast is that's in front of you.
Yeah.
Remarkable. A difficult thing to explain on radio, I realise, but for all of us that are
We're happily gesticulating here.
You've risen to this position very quickly when you were working on your PhD, though. There was a moment when you thought about quitting maths altogether.
Yes.
Why?
I guess as a researcher, one has to get used to not making progress. It's basically the the day-to-day life is not understanding. And I found this very difficult in the middle of my PhD. I felt like I'd spent a year just not getting anywhere. And I just decided, okay, I'll try and finish and then leave and do something else. But then things turned around in my third year.
So I know that last month, Australia's chief scientist, Alan Finkel, warned that high school students were avoiding tougher mathematics subjects to boost their ATAR scores, their university entrance scores. What do you say to kids, to teenagers about mathematics? How do you, presumably you encourage them to stay in it, to go pretty hard at it.
Yeah, definitely.
What's your sell?
Well, so there was a very recent study at the University of Sydney that people that had not done mathematics in their final year were twice as likely to fail first year subjects at Sydney Uni, first year science subjects. And I think that mathematics is absolutely essential for the sciences, and our world is becoming more mathematical. And so I think that there's kind of no way around it.
All right. Before we go, you've got a challenge for RN Breakfast listeners this morning. So get your pencils out, your pens maybe. I don't know whether you can use a calculator for this. Well, give it to us.
You will need a calculator, I guess, unless you're very good at it. So this is a classic in probability theory. Imagine you have 23 people in a room. What is the chance that two of these people share a birthday?
Okay. One more time, just for people in case they didn't catch it the first time.
You have 23 people in a room and you ask, everybody says their birthday, and you want to know what is the probability that two people have the same birthday. And the answer is very surprising.
Okay. So text us. The number is 0418-226-576. You can tweet us at RN Breakfast. We'll give you the answer in a few minutes' time. I'd note that Tesla founder Elon Musk is about to be made a fellow. Prince William is an honorary member. Are you going to be sitting around in a room sort of being fellows with these people?
I don't know what to expect, but I'm looking forward to it a lot.
One listener has just texted in saying, I've now got two spam emails offering me membership of the Royal Society if I disclose my banking details. You didn't have to give your banking details, did you?
No.
Geordie, congratulations. It's a real honour to meet you, and thanks for taking us inside your brain for a few minutes this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Geordie Williamson is a Professor of Mathematics at the University of Sydney, soon-to-be Fellow of the Royal Society. We'll have that answer for you to the challenge after 8:30. The text line is 0418-226-576, or you can tweet us at RNBreakfast.